Now, external factor, we take demographic change, what we understand by demography, movement of people, changes in the population characteristic, what earlier generation did, what current generation want. That's a demographic change. Yeah, people moving from rural areas, coming to urban area, more people using the Android, more people getting in touch and going on social media, going into Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, more young generation is there. So all this is a demographic change. Nuclear families, here nuclear families means double income, nuclear means smaller, get together families. I'm concerned with me, my wife, my son, and that's all. My parents live alone, my brother live with his wife, so on. Nuclear family, micro family, very small family. Double income families, there's a terminology which is called DINK, which is used in Europe a lot, DINK. It is yet to get seasoned in a part of the world. D-I-N-K, DINK. That stands for double income, no kids. We have a lot of such youngsters in urban areas, especially in metros like Bengaluru, Mumbai, Delhi, Kolkata, Hyderabad, where there are couples living together, two incomes, with no kids, they don't have plan for kids. So these type of double income families, increasing population of aged people are some example of a demographic change. More people are now living healthy life. More people are in their 60s and 70s. Though overall average age in India is considered to be something like 45 to 49 years, but still we have got people with good health living in urban and rural area both, who are above 60 and above 70. So that is an example of a demographic change. Further on demographic change is education. Customers are more educated. So education tourism is also emerging. Their awareness is more. They would like to learn more. They would like to go ahead, study abroad, get more degrees, more education, get more learning. Though internationally, many countries, many companies, many corporates are not linking purely the education as their selecting force. Excuse me. So all this education, demand for education, learning, and education tourism, it has resulted into much more segmentation and niche marketing of travel products. So urban student would love to go and study somewhere in US, Canada, or Australia, New Zealand, if they can afford funding. Okay, some of them are looking for fellowship if they are scholarly and brilliant students. But that's limited, as we know. It's not offered to everyone, those who are scholarly and limited. Climate change, very common thing which keep hearing. It's also an external factor, but put because of the human ignorance or human environmental damage done to environment and the climate change. And it could be anything from landslide to heavy rainfall, from North Indian cities experience a stronger heat wave. This has caused people to avoid these destinations during their summer vacation travel plan. More rains. More rains are experienced even in the cities like Mumbai. We have extended rain. Otherwise, September used to be passing showers only, some rainfall here and there. Now we do get rain in September. Last year it extended in October due to because of climate change. And this is happening many places in the world. More snow, less snow, more rainfall, more heat. Europe experienced quite a heaty summer, very hot summer. All these are impact of climate change. Mercury has been settling above the normal for the past week, 28 centigrade, twice in June. This has caused worry among the hoteliers as the hills town has seen the tourist numbers dip in the first week of June, which is considered the peak season. So non-uniform health regulation, we are picking up something to learn as an external factor on non-uniform health. Various elements I have spoken about it. There is no uniformity in putting up a health regulation that could be accepted by all the countries. Like I gave example domestically, even within India, many states were restricting from one state to another for travel of the passengers. So on arrival and spread of the COVID, the government authorities have put restriction on the movement of the people. Very recently, I read in 3-4 days back, maybe 5 days back, 9,000 flights China canceled, domestic flights. Why? Because of the fear of spread of COVID. I don't know how the scenario is at the moment, but yes, on 22nd September, almost 9,000 domestic flights were canceled. No official reason given, but speculation suggested that there were outbreak of COVID at many places, so they just stopped domestic flight also to avoid spreading. So there is no such uniform health regulation. As I was talking in the beginning, some countries say 2 doses, some countries say 1 dose, some countries say checking upon arrival, you will be tested. If you found positive on COVID, you'll be sent back. Some countries say no, you will be quarantined. Some countries say you have to get quarantined before you come to our country. Some countries say you need to put a mask. Some countries said we don't need all this. Initially, few countries like Uzbekistan said, if you come to our country, welcome. If you fall sick due to COVID, the country would pay you some money, which was almost $2,000 to $3,000. So there is no such uniform health regulation, which time and again international organizations have been requesting to implement some sort of uniform health regulation for international tourists to understand well where he or she needs to go and need not worry about it. And this is what travel consultant, travel advisor, tour operators are concerned about. They have to keep them well informed about what is happening around, which country wants what my passenger is up to, whether he or she is fit to travel, whether he or she would need a quarantine, whether he or she would need a certificate before arrival. Was he or she shown as negative COVID or no? All these are, and randomly, not randomly, some countries were testing upon arrival also. All this is non-uniform health regulation that prevailed for quite a long time, though we are seeing that slowly going away. Several tests are required. I've spoken at length, various tests, RT-PCR, antigen, and so on. So many tests have been taken up. Nobody is totally was in agreement, despite IATA, UNWTO, PATA, World Travel and Tourism Council, regularly requesting for certain uniformity. But there was not a single agreement between many countries of the world that we will expect. Every country was looking from their own perspective of their health and the requirement from a tourist to arrive into that country. So destination countries put a lot of restrictions, making travel agencies and tourists more stressed and exhausted. Sometimes passengers were not quite sure that upon landing, and it happened, many cases were reported. You had a negative report before boarding an aircraft. You land at a destination, you are tested, and you are shown positive with COVID. Yes, I met some people who were having a negative report given to them after testing at home, and a negative report given. What she did, she just boarded the aircraft and went on to the destination wherever she was going, and upon arrival, tested, found positive on COVID. So message came like, okay, you got COVID while you were boarding, or the report that was issued was wrong, which is not correct, because all such reports, whether if they were issued falsely, then they were blacklisted. So everything was confused. No, not a single uniform health regulation were practiced. Now, emerging markets, internal factor, the new destination as tourist attraction due to infrastructure development, and the new destination will be competing with the popular old destination. And when we talk of new and old, the one which were mostly visited in the past and the new emerging, I give the example of Maldives. Though it's our neighbor, but the number of tourists were not going in such big number to Maldives in the past, like what we are seeing they going now. It was only gone and visited by celebrities who wanted separate place to live, no much of attraction, no much of media behind them, and so on. So that's a new, if you call it. New can be any new destination that is not traditionally been visited. And the old remains the same, like the old destinations that we know for Indians from very beginning was Singapore, and then came Thailand, and then UAE. All these were the typical old destination where Indians go time and again and again and again. So mobility plays a role in internal factor. Ease of movement provided by transportation availability has created the new tourist. It has mobility. So what does mobility means? I have my own vehicle. I'm staying very close to railway station. I can just go up to the airport. It's so close to me from utilizing the transportation. But in case if you have your own vehicle, then you are more mobile than anybody else. An important factor for domestic tourism was practiced by this. We would go on our own vehicle rather than taking a flight where we have the threat of getting infected with COVID, or going in a public transport like rail or bus. I would again be interacting with many. Ultimately, I could get infected with the COVID. So with the growth of private vehicle, the trend of moving out to travel is going to increase in the near future. That's our expectation. But with the rising fuel price, it is still a question mark whether more people will go for the vehicles. Because especially for urban people, vehicle is not a luxury. It is a need, but again, how to use this? Where to park my vehicle? How to manage it is an issue. So mobility is interlinked with what options you have in the moment. And the consumer attitude, the ideas, the fears, aspiration, and belief that people hold about their lives. So someone has a fear, I would be going in public, I should wear a mask, or I have some perception of somebody that I would have an attitude or aspiration, they inspire me. All these are attitudes. Attitudes vary from nation to nation and are culture based. Yes, what is attitude for me could not be an attitude for another citizen, and so on. So religious aspect attached to travel. Yes, a lot of people put the religion as a priority while even they travel. Okay, they look for certain things, they do some rituals, they perform certain prayers, so many things, which is of course respected because it's someone's practice, someone's belief, someone's religion, but that is a consumer attitude. It may not be so good for other culture to understand. So holidays are required and necessary for reducing work pressure. We know that it's compulsory. The old saying goes that you take a break, otherwise you'll break. What does that mean? You take a break from your stressful life, your day-to-day life, your 9-to-5 culture, 24 by 7, 30 days a month, you need to take a break. And that is what is required for especially urban people. We need rest. We don't have it. Traveling abroad is related to affluence and social respect in the society. Yes, a lot of people look at such people who travel abroad as people are, you know, some sort of inspiration for them. Yes, A has gone to America. Oh my God, he has traveled to US. Oh, someone has gone very recently to Dubai. Someone has gone to Thailand and Malaysia and blah and blah and blah. All that is a social affluence with the people. People respect them. All time, people were going and meeting such people who have traveled abroad because they were considered as some different type of people who could afford to travel and they could affluence the society and respect. Okay, we move further on to consumer attitude. The tendency to have multiple holidays per year. Yes, many travelers who were going minimum two holidays. One international, one domestic, sometimes two domestic. This was the general concept of the traveler from India before around 2019. One international, maybe two international, one business, one leisure, and two to three domestic. Some may be short, some may be long. That was the perception here and the tendency to have multiple holidays. Inclination towards short-term and short-duration holiday product and even off-season travel. This is the consumer attitude. And monsoon tourism, especially in states like Goa, Kerala, Karnataka, monsoon tourism is very much in practice. There is one thing which Kerala brought a ban recently. They said flood tourism. We have a lot of such people. For example, if there's a heavy downpour in Mahabaleshwar, people will flock to Mahabaleshwar to have the glimpse of the waterfall, go and have a swim, sprinkling water on you, get wet into the waterfall and enjoy. So flood tourism, where there is flooding, people love to take the boat and go and enjoy, see the streaming river, the high tide, which Kerala banned officially. The chief minister said no, and the term used was flood tourism, no to flood tourism. And of course, the monsoon tourism, I made a mention of this in my first chapter talk, that monsoon tourism is very popular, especially in Goa. The rate drop, I was talking about seasonality, how the seasonality has an impact on travel. Monsoon rates are not available to you in December. They will only remain valid in the monsoon month and so on. So some of the example of consumer attitude and emerging towards environmental friendly, environmentally sustainable tourism, more going to nature, more understanding nature, more getting experience and putting all that in sustainable element part of tourism. Consumer power, who can deny? Consumer who has a buying power. Is technological development has enabled the consumer to be powerful? Yes, by your laptop or your Android phone, your mobile, you can do anything from booking to web check-in to boarding pass to know about the flight arrival and departure time. Everything with the technology is working. And the term of information search and making the travel decision is also going through with the technology, and the consumer are aware of it. They know where to search for the better fare. They know which destination to go for. They know how to check arrival time, departure time, upon arrival, flight landed, how to take a boarding pass, how to web check in. All these are with the consumer that has given him, her, or her a power. And availability of information has benefited the consumer to a great extent. One can now design and manage its own travel plan simply. Yes, but earlier I've already said there would still be the demand for travel agent, because the nitty-gritty part, generic, yes, you can do your travel plan. But where there is a complication involved, where consultation is required, where human touch is required, you would need travel agent. Because going on the web portal, you have no connectivity with the service provider. There is just a name that appears. Of course, the credibility is there, but you cannot fall back. If there is something, then you can just write. There is nothing, someone whom you can go and talk. You can pick up a phone, as we all know. The technology puts you into the phone network, and within a span of 5 minutes, you are thrown out of the system by just going from press 1 to press 2 to press 3. So consumer is now more powerful. Consumer understand what he want. Consumer is fully aware with the technology, and this is an internal strength with the consumer. And that's a consumer power. Government policies, various government multidimensional activities controlled by formulating suitable government policy need to work in favor of consumer. For example, various related tourism practices, laws, regulation. We have a national tourism policy which is reviewed from time to time, still didn't take a shape in our country as a tourism law. We pick up a lot of such requirement to offer to our tourists through various different laws like rail law, civil aviation law, consumer law, and implement it into practice of tourism. We do have a national tourism policy, but we need to look at a specific government policy with regard to tourism, because we have now realized tourism can bring in good amount of GDP. We have national heritage to show. We have a huge country. We have diversified tourist interests. We have nature, we have sand, we have got land, desert, river, snow. Different type of tourism products are available to us. Government need to put up a policy in practice that will bring dimensional activities by controlling and formulating suitable government policies. Supply oriented instead of demand. Well, there is supply, you should more support as a supply and not focus only the demand. And of course, government policy is in place to safeguard the health and safety of their own people. Now, when I talk of safety, I would refer about certain countries where they have tourist police whose job is to protect tourists, nothing else. They monitor tourists at the touristic spot. They are present. Their numbers are displayed on the tourist spots that call up tourism police, which is only responsible. They are more communicating officers in English. Say, for example, Thailand. They have a tourist police where a tourist can call, where people understand, where the police understand the language. And that is the safety of the tourist that government has to provide as a policy. Further, the activities such as creating and establishing linkage with various things, like we have been seeking linkage of various things, linkage of Aadhaar card with PAN card, linkage of voter's ID with your Aadhaar card, all such linkages. We had the good linkage of your Aarogya Setu, which was your COVID vaccination certification, linked to your Aadhaar card. Now you could link it to your passport also. So internationally, if you show that with a QR code, they can find out, yes, XYZ is vaccinated for 2 COVID doses. So that's a linkage we can talk of. People participation in tourism development, contribution coming from host community. The local population should support as support to the government policy. Exploring working opportunities, public and private partnership play a pivotal role in tourism management and its promotion. We need to put all this PPP participation, public-private participation. Don't expect everything government to do. Government can set up policies which tourism players, tourism suppliers have been continuously interacting with Ministry of Tourism, government officers, Minister of Tourism from time to time to set up specific tourist policies. Role include facilitating the growth of tourism. Policies should be for the growth of tourism sector, obviously, because tourism sector grows, you get more revenue, you get more foreign exchange earning. provision of basic infrastructure facility that is emerging. We are building new airports, we are building highways, we are bringing in electric cars, electric vehicle that will reduce the carbon impact and many things. So government should work on those policies, planning tourism development as a development strategy, providing required support, incentive to both domestic and foreign investor, tax holidays, incentives, new startup to be given benefit, some month of tax holidays. All these are falling under government policy. Government has a clear-cut infrastructure commitment of building roads, airport, railway stations, highways, and government is showing interest. Government need to work. Internationally also, if you pick up, many countries in the world have to work on these government policies. And technology, spoken a lot onto that, is the major influential factor for demand. Like at the punch of a button, you can go either on your laptop or your computer and can learn on many things. Increase reach for media approach, putting up your requests, getting information, getting pricing, awareness of a destination, the weather, the places to visit, social media. With the help of technology, you are connected with international travelers. Your Facebook friend, your Instagram friend, your LinkedIn friend can always work as a help to you, to explain to you what they have to offer. All these thanks to the technology. Social media is the buzzword of today. I mentioned this, that social media, a tourist can get connected with anybody without going to a travel agent. Somebody having a Facebook friend from, say, Thailand, he can write to the Thailand friend and say, I'm coming here, what you can do for me? How can you get me a hotel which is good price, good location, and likewise. So social media is what we would need to grow further as a technology. And estimated that there were 400, now this is a count of how many people were using social media. In India, 467 million, which is almost equal to one third of our population. But how many of them understand social media? The real social media, where you get benefited. Most of us waste time on junk while we are on social media. We look at reels, we are looking at below the social standard posts and so on and so forth. We just watch movies, we go on OTP platform, watching dub movies and so on and so forth. Real use of technology is still, we are far behind it. Though we talk of so much of usage, but how many of them are really using this for the benefit and understanding of the technology? So as reported by Statista, over 50% of India's population was accessing social network. It was estimated by 2025, this penetration of social network would be 67% of the country's population. I've spoken on that. Yes, social media literally means the real social media, where you get connected to the people, where you learn from their experience, where you learn from their culture, ethnic culture, their practices, their destination. That is going on social media and not just what we waste our time, as I mentioned. So this is the use of technology, some statistics shared with you. We are on the rise, obviously. That's why the pricing for personal use is much lesser than what your business connection would go for connecting with the internet service provider. And travel reality shows that comes on various TV shows, shooting in foreign countries and making reels, all have resulted into destination. People are learning about new destination through movies now. Destination, wonderful sites, wonderful positions are shown to attract tourists. The collective effect of media watching has already become inspiration for the travel demand. It influences strongly the social consumer attitude. With this, we come to an end. Thank you for listening to me. I'm Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. Thank you once again.